The Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 4th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Groups that fight for clean, affordable water are speaking out in favor of President Joe Biden's proposed budget, which would put billions of dollars into water-related projects in the Great Lakes region.
The American Jobs Plan proposes millions more for the area. Laura Rubin, director of Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition, says big problems require big solutions.
Toxic pollution continues to threaten the health of our communities. Sewage contamination continues to close our beaches. Harmful algal blooms continue to harm tourism and small businesses. And climate change is exacerbating many of these threats, especially flooding.
Opponents of the Biden proposals complain about their high price tags. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The Biden plan would increase the budget for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative by $10 million and give the EPA an extra $2 billion to allow for greater oversight of polluters. There's more information online at healthylakes.org. And in a concession to Republicans, USA Today reports President Biden proposed, instead of raising the corporate tax rate to pay for a bipartisan infrastructure package totaling at least $1 trillion, they'd work to ensure corporations don't exploit tax loopholes. The president still supports raising corporate taxes to cover other parts of his agenda, according to the White House. USA Today reports the tweak proposal would no longer raise the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%, relying on other funding components of Biden's American Jobs Plan. That would include beefing up tax enforcement on the country's wealthiest earners and ensuring the largest corporations pay at least a minimum of 15%. Gun safety advocates in Massachusetts are looking to put pressure on lawmakers to tackle the nationwide epidemic of gun violence on National Gun Violence Awareness Day.
While the Commonwealth does have strong gun safety laws on topics like ghost guns, untraceable weapons that people can assemble at home, state law still has to catch up with the technology, says Rena Schnauer with the state chapter of the group Moms Demand Action. Massachusetts has one of the lowest rates of gun violence in the nation, which she adds is still too much.
Those rates are still higher than any other developed country by an order of magnitude, as well as there are pockets of gun violence specifically concentrated in some cities.
In Massachusetts, black men are disproportionately affected by firearms homicide. Black men age 15 to 34 lose their lives to guns 22 times more often than white men of the same age, according to the Educational Fund to Stop Gun Violence. The majority of gun deaths by suicide are white men over age 75. I'm Lily Bolke reporting.
This is PNS. The Environmental Protection Agency held a public hearing this week to reconsider letting states decide their own vehicle emission standards, and Maryland's Attorney General supports the change.
The Trump administration ended the federal Clean Air Act waiver that allowed California and other states to adopt stricter greenhouse gas standards for cars and trucks than federal standards. President Joe Biden is pushing to strike down Trump's rule to reduce emissions that contribute to climate change. Maryland AG Brian Frosch points out Maryland is particularly vulnerable to sea level rise from climate change and says it's urgent that courts let other states adopt California's stricter rules.
The Chesapeake Bay literally runs down the middle of our state. We have more than 3,100 miles of coastline. We have more floods with more damage every year. We need leadership and innovation that California has brought to vehicle emissions for more than half a century.
I'm Diane Bernard.
The calendar says it's June, which means if you live in Arizona, it's only going to get hotter. And while you can compensate with air conditioning, water utilities are increasingly challenged to deal with problems brought on by the extremes of climate change.
Mohammed Mahmoud with the Central Arizona Project explains there's a cumulative effect on climate warming that can't help but change the conditions in which they operate.
Not only are the peak temperatures within the summer season increasing, but also the frequency of days where we're in that higher band of temperature, certainly above 100 degrees, and even more so above 110 degrees, those days are increasing.
Mahmoud, who also chairs the Water Utility Climate Alliance, says they ordered the study to project how climate warming might affect the way his industry operates and to suggest ways to adapt over the next few decades to continue delivering water without interruptions. Mark Richardson reporting.
Finally, Eric Kanoff tells us one of the country's oldest grassroots conservation groups is changing its name and also broadening its mission.
The Montana Wilderness Association, founded in 1958, announced on Thursday that it will change its name to Wild Montana. Andrew McKean, one of the newest members of the organization's board of directors, lives on the prairie in northeastern Montana. He notes the region isn't filled with mountain peaks and forests, places people typically think of as wilderness.
What excites me is less of an emphasis on the wilderness with a capital W and federal wilderness designations, and an increasing emphasis on wilderness with a lowercase w. So wildlands, wild places, wild rivers, and access to all of that.
McKean says wild places exist across Montana, but face threats from development.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.